Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast, presented by KFC. I'm your host, William Liu of Yahoo Sports Canada. On this week's bonus episode, we have an old favorite, Big V.
Yeah, bringing back all the old times, man.
Actually, though.
Back at the office. I was like, man, I haven't done this walk in a while.
Wow. How you doing, man? How you doing? How you
been? I'm good, man.
You chilling?
I'm ready for second half of the season. I feel like, even though it's been a 12-game win streak, It was, man, I was genuinely excited for that Pacers game.
Oh, my God. How could you not be?
Man, I'm so tired of facing these punk teams that you can just beat up on night after night.
It's yeah.
Like finally, a real team shows up.
Yep.
And then after three quarters, you're kind of like, oh, man.
You're like, I miss Detroit. Yeah. No, that game was crazy, man. At the end of that game, when that final possession like wrapped up and the Raptors got a loose ball and Terrence Davis threw it ahead of him and stuff like that, I was like on meter row, like just pounding my chest, and everyone looking around me like, yo, what the fuck is this guy doing?
if there is one thing I miss, it's Will Liu on press row, man.
Dan Reynolds was looking over him and was like, yo, come on, man.
That is an event in and of itself.
I was hyped, though. How could you not be hyped, man? That was a great win. Raptors. I didn't realize this. There's never been a 12-game win streak in the Toronto sports history.
Yeah, that's crazy, because when they were showing the different teams' win streaks, it was like the Leafs have done 10, the Argos have done 10, Raps 11 a couple of times.
Yeah.
So.
And the Jays did 11, I think, once.
Oh, true.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, 12 in a row, man. That's a big accomplishment, really. Like, you figured they'd slip up somewhere. Yesterday was a game they could have slipped up. But, no, they won 20 in a row, and we'll definitely talk more about that.
I feel like baseball is tough to do.
Baseball, there's just so much variance.
And it's like you have to go at it every day, and then you're facing the same team usually either three games in a row or four games in a row. It's tough to just sweep a team, and then to do that for 11 games, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah. We'll definitely talk about that, but first things first, the trade deadline has come and gone. I was just at the OVO practice facility where, I mean, you know, I got to say it was a little bit of a waste of time, because there was not anything that the Raptors did. It's very anticlimactic. There wasn't even that much suspense, because like at around 3:05, the Raptors PR walks in and it's like, yeah, we didn't do anything.
Yeah.
So you don't have to wait, because sometimes you got to wait like an hour and more trades come in. Like, no, nothing was going on.
I mean, as soon as I saw the tweet that Masai is going to Africa, I was like, I don't think he's up to much right now.
Yeah, he's like, I thought, you know what, because I messaged you, because someone had the flight details, because I think Trudeau's movements are public or something like that.
Right.
And it was like, he's leaving for 6 p.m. And I'm like, wow, Masai making Justin Trudeau hold the plane so he could come speak to the media. And of course it wasn't. It was Bobby Webster in a gray t-shirt, just determined to say nothing and been like, yeah, guys, we didn't do anything. I don't know what you want me to say. So the Raptors standing pat, what are your thoughts on this? How are you feeling about it?
I feel good about it. I think if the Heat would have found a way to land Danilo Gallinari as well, I would have then looked at them as the second best team in the East, maybe pretty close to Milwaukee as well. And so now without that deal, I feel like, hey, you've got teams 2 through 6 that whoever faces each other in the postseason, frankly, it's going to be pretty much a pick-em series. You're going to have to need some things to go your way. You're going to have to need coaching adjustments at the right time. You're going to need players to make big plays, and that's all it's going to come down to. I think all those teams are that closely bunched up together.
Yeah, for sure. And that's one of my biggest worries, like just like you. Like, if the Raptors stood pat, I was going to be fine with it. I think realistically, we just looked at the available options. There wasn't necessarily the clear-cut moves. Like, we talked about before, like a couple months back, of like, you know, Ibaka for Gallo or whatever. And it's like, not even sure that's an upgrade, to be honest.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's more of like a, if you want to redistribute your talent kind of move.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, I'm just saying, I'm not surprised. I think people have we've been warned about this. We've been told about it. And it's not the Raptors didn't do anything. Obviously, I'm sure they were working on calls and things like that. But, you know, one thing that – well, two things that were mentioned that was interesting was that, one, I think Bobby talked about how, look, it just the injuries kind of impact your ability to evaluate this team.
Yeah.
This team straight up just never is healthy.
No.
And maybe that's a reason to make a move if you're worried them having long-term issues. But it seems like, especially with something like Gasol, they're just holding him out for precaution. They're like, well, the trade deadline's right there, and he's, like, super old. Like, let's just wait. But, you know, I guess to you then, in the fleeting moments in which we've seen them fully healthy, like, what is the potential of the team?
I think at their best, they're good enough to make the East Finals.
Okay.
If they can stay within that 2-3 seed range, I think obviously if they drop to 4 or 5 to whatever, for whatever reason, then... you know, getting Milwaukee in the second round, that's going to be tough. I think that's the one opponent that you want to delay for as much as possible. And so staying in that 2-3 seed, I think they will like their chances going up against Philadelphia, Indiana, Boston, yep. Miami. So, yeah, I think – and the other thing that maybe has concerned me that I hope now is a trend that goes – it continues to go the other way is – Pascal Siakam's performances against those plus 500 teams.
Yep.
I feel like the last couple of games there has been improvement. And, you know, I think what was encouraging about the Indiana game was he started out slow and we've seen him sort of just stay out of it saying, I don't have it.
Yep.
And so, you know, let's see who else can get something done.
Defer.
Yeah. And
Kyle was hot him, too. So yeah. There would have been a good reason to defer to Kyle.
Exactly. So for him to show up the way he did in the fourth, and really step up, make some big plays, both offensively and defensively.
Yeah.
I think that's an encouraging sign in terms of going into those big games, those big playoff situations where Pascal can sort of look back and say, hey, I've had rough games against good teams before, but I can still have good moments where I can help the team and step up.
Yeah, no, for sure. If you were looking at the trade deadline in terms of obviously it's come and gone, so there's not too much you can do about it now. But if there's one area of weakness, what would you have liked to seen that part of the game addressed for the Raptors?
So I think by popular demand, people would say the rebounding is a concern.
Yeah.
But I've kind of gone the other way with that, where I've looked at the rebounding as almost a trade-off to the way the Raptors defend.
Yeah.
When you play as much zone as they do and triangle and two and... just their general sort of scramble mode.
Yep.
I think you are going to give up your fair share of offensive rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what we've seen to this point, what we saw last season as well, validates it. Like they get enough stops where if you're giving up offensive rebounds here and there, it's worth it just because of the defense they're able to play.
Yeah. I mean, it's not hurting your bottom line. They're second in defense.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So for me, I think the concern I have is the half-court scoring.
Yep.
I think, you know, again, prime example, the Indiana game. When they had to score 5-on-5, it was a problem.
Yep.
And that's when you saw the guards pick up the pace off rebounds. You saw Pascal Siakam pushing the pace. And then when they're able to sort of get out in transition and you know, maybe go a little 5-on-4, just at least not even allow the defense to set.
Yeah.
They've got a good chance to score, but I think that was my primary concern. That's part of why I was like, hey, maybe Gallinari is a guy that can really help take the load off Siakam, take the load off Lowry, create his own shot, shoot from the outside, that type of thing. But now I think, you know, you roll with what you have, and at the same time, this, regardless of how it goes from here, the rest of the regular season, the playoffs, this is going to be a huge growth opportunity for everyone that's on the team.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You know, I've sort of not circled them or, you know, pointed them out, but like one guy that's been underperforming offensively in the last couple of months, or really just the last month here, is OG Anunoby, who had a really hot start to the year, was really impactful. And I'm not sure if it's a stamina thing. I'm not really sure if it's because of the injuries or whatever, but it's just his prominence has not really been there offensively. I mean, you know, yesterday, for example, he scores 0 points, only takes one shot. I don't even mind the 0 points. Only taking one shot is, I think, a reflection of the fact that, yes, there's not a lot of ball movement around him, but you got to find a way to get involved more than just taking one shot, you know?
And you've pointed it out. It's been a trend of him getting benched in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and that's a little awkward and a little strange. You know, I think ideally you want him on the floor because I think there's if you're going up against Miami, you probably want someone to be able to go up against Jimmy Butler, and I think OG's a good defender for that. You know, if you're going against the Boston Celtics, you probably have a couple of wing guys there that you probably want OG on the floor for, or even the Sixers. I mean, you just want OG to be bigger there. Maybe he plays the two sometimes, as we've seen against Sixers, in occasional stretches here. But this is also a development opportunity, and I kind of said from the start of the year this is a development year, and whatever trade you're making, it had to be a move that definitely cracked your top seven in the rotation, and that's absolutely just not easy to do for the Raptors, man. While everyone is healthy, that top seven is very set. I mean, the weak point of that top seven coming into the year, we probably would have said was Norm. And Norm was averaging like 16 points a game, shooting 50% from the field and 40% from three. So that's not even a weak spot anymore. And so, yeah, I mean, whatever. It's not that big of a deal. I think, obviously there's still the buyout market. We can get to that in a second. But, ultimately, I think the biggest reason why I feel the most comfortable about it is because I still think fundamentally in the Eastern Conference, based on the moves that were made, it's still kind of mostly the same. Everyone's still trying to catch up to Milwaukee. And, for one thing, Milwaukee didn't make any moves, which is nice. Indiana didn't make any moves. I think they're a pretty solid team regardless. I don't think they need to make that many moves. They need to get healthy first.
Oladipo is their move.
And, once he finds his rhythm, that team is going to be pretty good. They already are pretty solid. And then Boston didn't make a move, which, surprise, surprise, the Boston Celtics didn't make a move. They're still holding on their assets for Anthony Davis. You never know, man. You never know when AD might be available for Terry Rozier. But the two teams that did make a move were the Heat and the Sixers. Let's start with the Heat.
Oh, I thought we were going to talk about the Cavs and the Pistons.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, we'll talk about that too. Don't worry. There's always room for some Pistons slander based on how much they injure our players. Let's start with the Heat. They get Andre Iguodala, Jay Crowder, and Solomon Hill. I'm only mentioning Solomon Hill because he gave the Raptors tons of problems in 2016. His defense against DeMar was shockingly good. For Justice Winslow, and what I have written down here is the Gummy Boys. James Johnson and Deion Waiters. Anyway, what are your thoughts on that deal? How does that impact the bottom line for Miami?
I think this is one of those deals where you have to consider that beauty is in the eyes of the beholder.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at the Miami giving away Justice Winslow, let's face it, Winslow has not been healthy at all for Miami, not just this season, seasons past as well. And so they've never really been able to see what he can be to his full potential. And so, in terms of making plans for now, he probably didn't figure into them. And then you look at Deion Waiters, that's probably a chemistry thing, and getting off his contract is pretty significant for them as well.
Mm-hmm.
And James Johnson, let's face it, in a playoff situation, I'd rather have Iguodala out there on the court than him.
Definitely.
Right?
Yeah.
And so you look at Iguodala coming into this situation. I always go back to that Eric Spoelstra quote about Marc Gasol, talking about, hey, you've got a guy that when the shot clock's winding down, when it's a tense moment in a playoff game, who's not going to get seasick.
Mm-hmm.
And there's incredible value in that for Miami in having Iguodala around. And so, someone was saying, Miami got a bunch of guys that can't shoot, and that's what they really needed. But for me, when the Raptors weren't a great three-point shooting team last year,
mm-hmm.
before they got Marc Gasol, and I feel like Iguodala can be like
secondary
have that kind of impact, not maybe like a light version of that.
Yeah.
He's not going to vault Miami to be the number one three-point shooting team, but the way he can play make, the way he can read the game, mm-hmm. I think he can open up a lot more looks for guys like Tyler Herro and Duncan Robinson and Kelly Olynyk, and maybe even ease things up for Jimmy Butler, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean, I think obviously the biggest question I think is just him sitting out the year and how much he's if he's lost a step or not. I think some people were saying that he lost a step even last year because they're like, well, you only averaged like 5.7 points per game and, you know, whatever. Didn't really shoot it that well from three. But it's like, come on, man. I thought in the playoffs, I thought Iguodala was pretty good in the playoffs.
And I thought he was pretty good in that finals.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that game two where he hits the game winner.
Yeah.
Again, still very annoying that shit happened. I'm surprised whoever it was didn't come out with a loose ball. I think Sean Livingston beat Kawhi for the loose ball.
Yeah, somehow.
Yeah, and the ball sprinkled right to Andre, and then no one rotated to him, and he hit the shot, even though he was bricks before that. And also, in game six.
You know, just to highlight that point, you know, in essence, that's the value of acquiring Iguodala, right?
That's true.
As soon as that ball went to Iggy, everyone was worried.
Oh, of course.
That's the type of guy, it doesn't matter what his percentages are, right? In that situation, you trust him to make that shot.
Yeah. And he's a three-time champion. Obviously, he's been to the finals many years in a row. And that sort of thing, I'm like, I'm not even so concerned about him sitting out this portion of time because he probably needed it. He probably needed it at his age, playing that much, you know, finals basketball. I think it's going to be good for him. I think realistically, I think what it helps Miami with is just like they have another guy they can trust in like a five-man unit late in the game. He's a plus defender. He's probably neutral offensively, I would say now, because he's not that much of a scorer. But, you know, he can hold his own. And if it's a difference between playing him versus, like, maybe trying to get by with a Duncan Robinson or maybe trying to get by with, you know, a Myers Leonard or things like that, you know, that's just not great. If you just have Iguodala in that spot instead, I think that helps him a bit. The rest of the pieces there, I'm not too worried about Jay Crowder, to be honest. Like, he's also capable, but I at some point, you need to put a lot of wing minutes for Jimmy Butler. He's probably going to play like 40 on the wing.
Yep.
And then you're throwing Jay Crowder in there, and then obviously Iguodala's contending for it, and then have all these other shooters. Like, at some point, it's just like the marginal difference is not very high. Mm-hmm. Right? Maybe you can opt for a better defensive lineup with Crowder, but offensively, you're probably going to take someone like Nunn or Hero or, you know, Robinson off the floor, and there's not that much shooting, so... to be honest, I'm not that worried. I mean, you know, if they had gone Gallo, I thought that would have been a higher impact move because, you know, their power forward position is just a little weak.
Right.
Like, they start Myers Leonard most games. It's just, you know, that's not great. And they kind of just figure it out from there. If they got Gallo, I think, like, offensively, that would have really helped them. But, you know, ultimately, I think my thing with the Heat is just how good can a Jimmy Butler-led team be? If he's the best guy and you put a lot of great supporting pieces around him, how good is that team?
Well, I think that's where the parity of the league comes in, right? It's like, how good can a Jimmy Butler-led team be? But also, how good is a Victor Oladipo-led team? How good is a Pascal Siakam-led team?
That's true.
How good is a Kemba Walker-led team? All these teams are sort of right there. Mm-hmm. And so no one made that move to take themselves over the top. Mm-hmm. And so I think really, you know, it sounds like I'm kind of bowing out here, but it really is going to just come down to how it plays out in the playoff series. It is going to come down to, you know, maybe four bounces here or maybe, you know, a steal late in a game, whatever it may be, right? And so I think all these teams are really tight together, man.
Well, hold on. The Philadelphia 76ers fixed all their problems, all right? They've gotten Glenn Robinson III and Alec Burks. This news broke late, past midnight, before the trade deadline.
Shouts to Woj.
Yeah, shouts to Woj, man. I don't know if he sleeps. I have this theory that there's two Wojes out there. It's like a night shift Woj you don't see on TV. Anyway, whatever.
Have you seen that video of him, like, on TV, and then he gets a call, and then he's like trying to tweet at the same time.
Oh, so, man. Jeez. Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised, I guess. I'm not surprised. But I know he definitely has a ghostwriter, man. There's no way he's writing out the whole news report. He's just sending someone and is like, yo, fill this out for me.
Yeah.
But
yeah, Philly.
Philly, yeah. Glenn Robinson III and Alec Burks. Listen, I'm having a hard time evaluating some of these guys that came from the Golden State Warriors because nobody took them seriously. Glenn Robinson III was supposed to be a good pickup for, like, you know, Detroit and Indiana before that. Didn't really do much. Alec Burks has been hurt. I mean, are any of these guys going to be on the floor for the Sixers in a tight moment? And if they are, is that a problem for the Sixers?
It is. I mean, I think the biggest thing for Philly is to stay in that 4-5 matchup. and get, honestly, it'll be the best thing for them if they get Miami in the first round.
Ooh, okay.
Because, I like that, yeah. Because the way I look at them, they're a hype team. They're all about excitement and, you know, getting their fans into it and whatnot. And
who's
so,
talking about Miami?
No, Philadelphia.
Philly, okay.
And you look at their home record versus their road record. Mm-hmm. It's the same. And, you know, it translates even against plus 500 teams.
They're
really, really good at home. And so
it's really intimidating in there. Like, there's some, the Philly energy thing is real.
And so I think they would be very excited to face Jimmy Butler in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, they might not be built to beat any of the other teams, but they're built to beat Milwaukee.
Yep.
So if they can get sort of get themselves up for that Miami series and then get Milwaukee in the second round.
Yeah.
To me, that is their path to the East Finals.
Right.
I
mean, listen, if the Sixers get to the East Finals, I'm feeling very good about the Raptors' chances. But, my thing with this trade is just I don't really know what it does for them. I guess Alec Burks can be sort of like a bench creator for them. But he's never been that good of a player.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's like a really off-brand Norm Powell.
Yeah.
Like, Norm Powell this year is better than Alec Burks has ever really been. And has translated to more winning than Alec Burks has ever done. So, yeah, it's just, it's weird, man. I mean, I think what they needed to do was get one more versatile wing. Like, if they got Iguodala, I felt like that would have been really nice for them.
Right.
Well, obviously, they went for a cheaper option here. You know, but if you just look at it, like, they, you know, the one of the curious moves that they made was they let go of James Ennis. They shipped him off to the Magic for a future second round pick. That one didn't make any sense to me. I guess they needed to create a roster spot, but like, bro, there's some other pieces on the roster that could get moved. James Ennis is that guy who could actually play and defend and has length. And, you know, as we saw in the Raptors series, James Ennis.
I'll play Fred VanVleet.
Bro, he blocked James. He blocked VanVleet three times on threes. It was nuts. Yeah, I mean, James Ennis, I think if you go back and listen to the Reaction podcast, I think he was pretty much Gerald Henderson every single game.
Yeah. But, it, I mean, I think it tells a story when I'm saying that their best case scenario is to actually, like, face the toughest opponents that they can possibly get.
That is true.
Realistically, you're looking at a Philly team that is really struggling with chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
Embiid and Simmons just seems very, very off right now.
Did you see the Al Horford quote?
I saw the Horford quote.
Yeah.
And so they're basically right now last year's Celtics, right?
I mean, they're definitely shaping up to be, for sure.
And so it wouldn't be a surprise to anyone if it plays out that way.
Mm-hmm.
And if it does, I would be shocked if one of Simmons or Embiid isn't traded in the summer.
Mm. Yeah. Man, that'd be crazy. Which way would you go?
You know, I've been thinking about this. So I'll start off by saying Embiid is 100% the better player.
Okay. So you're going with
the
Simmons.
Better overall player.
Okay.
But because of his injury history, I would trade Embiid because I think there's more you can get back for him. And also when I look at the future of the league, I think Simmons still fits into it very nicely despite the lack of a shot. If you can get enough shooting around him, which I think you should be able to do if you trade Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
I think that could fit very nicely with the pieces that they have.
That's interesting. I feel like, honestly, it's weird because I'm not entirely sure you can build a serious playoff team around Ben Simmons, even though I think he is probably more professional to how he approaches work.
Right.
And that goes to part with the injuries. Like, Embiid is more injury prone because he's a little bigger, but a lot bigger, but he's also just, you know, I feel like Ben Simmons takes care of himself more than Embiid does. So I feel like the ceiling's higher there. But, I mean, look, I look forward to the Sixers imploding. I agree. This doesn't really change the bottom line. And if you look at the rest of the Eastern Conference, not a lot was going on. The other big deal that was happening, Andre Drummond got flipped by the Detroit Pistons, which is not surprising. There was a great report that came out yesterday that said the Pistons were willing to discuss any player on the roster, which is just incredible to me. Imagine having 15 whole guys on the team and being like, not sold on any of these guys. Take whatever you want, man. That one just killed me. That one just killed me, man. Yeah, so, Drummond ends up getting moved. First off, I'm a little surprised Derrick Rose didn't get moved. I thought that was a prime trade candidate.
That is actually surprising.
I don't know why the hell you're holding on to Derrick Rose. I mean, I guess if you still want to sell tickets, but no one's going to want to come see Derrick Rose run pick and rolls with John Henson and Brandon Knight and a future second-round pick that is not going to convey until 2023. That's all they got for Andre Drummond. Look, I don't even like Drummond.
That's a low blow to Drummond, man.
Yo, that's a slap in the face. And it didn't even tell him either. I mean, I guess, what are you going to tell him? Like, bro, we think you're trash, and we actively want you to leave. It's so much so that we took on John Henson and Brandon Knight. Man, Detroit is just – I feel bad for Dwayne Casey. I really do.
It's a sad state of affairs. Yeah, you should just read out your tweet, man.
Oh, man. You know, I wasn't trying to, like, talk shit about him. I'm just saying, if you just looked at his circumstance, it was very unfortunate, you know?
It's a sad time.
Yeah.
It's a sad time for Dwayne Casey. Pour one out.
The only thing I'm concerned about this – if there is anything to be concerned about, there are reports out there that the Pistons will chase Fred VanVleet in free agency. And the biggest determinant and the biggest hindrance to that was Drummond having a $28.7 million player option left on his deal. Now that it's off the books, Henson and Knight are both expiring. Pistons have about $35 million to chase a free agent with. Does this worry you at all? Are you a little, you know, concerned? What's your level of concern on a scale of 10 that they steal Fred?
I'm not concerned about Fred going to Detroit. I think at the end of the day, he's a winner.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Raptors will ultimately come close enough money-wise, no matter what the Pistons throw at him, to outweigh whatever the Pistons offer. Because if you can have close enough money and then also be a winner and
be with an organization where you're beloved.
Yeah. And have all the sort of off-court ventures that you have here in Toronto. Osmos.
They don't have Osmos in Detroit? Can't believe Osmos is the first thing you said, man. Come on, man. They got Shoeless Joe's in Detroit. Do they have Jif ice cream or Jif peanut butter in Detroit?
Jif peanut butter. What are we going to do about the Champwich?
Yeah,
you
know,
can't
right?
live without the Champwich.
You can't be without Pascal, man. Never split up Fred VanVleet and Pascal Siakam, please.
I mean, we said that about Jakob Poeltl and Pascal.
Well, you know, it is what it is. It is what it is. We'll see what number they come up with. But the Pistons have a number of options in terms of just openings on the roster. It's going to cost a lot of money for anybody to go to Detroit. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see. It's not like they signed Fred VanVleet and they're suddenly relevant again. They have a lot of problems on that team. Again, that report killed me, man. Every single player available.
That is hilarious.
That's crazy to me, man. They just slapped one of those, like, Metro, like, $4 off. That's like expiring meat. They're just like, yo,
pick a number,
right
any
now,
number.
Man. Anything. Literally. Take it and go, man. Literally, take it. John Henson and Brandon Knight. Oh, my God. And then the bonus thing, before we move on to potential buyout market names, Wiggins and a first for D'Angelo Russell. Obviously, this doesn't really impact the Raptors, but, you know, what are your thoughts? You happy for Wiggins?
I mean, my thoughts are if Wiggins didn't like playing with Jimmy, he's not going to like playing with Draymond.
Well, Wiggins put out an Instagram post where he seemed real freaking excited to be going.
I think I look at Andrew Wiggins' career, and I think this is his last chance.
Because he's on a max contract. He got plenty of lives.
No. I just mean it in the sense that, you know, having respect around the league, you look at everyone sort of giving him the benefit of the doubt, and the Warriors have basically said, hey, we're going to just accept that you're in a losing situation. You're with a bad organization.
Yep.
Maybe they saw enough in that first month-ish where he looked like he had made some changes to his game and looked an improved player.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows, maybe losing just got into his head and he was like, yeah, you know what? I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
But
well, I feel like it's the other way around. He didn't care, and that's why all the losing happened. But all right, keep going.
But that's the thing. If you can't care enough, if you can't get it together with a Golden State organization that has proven that they are winners, if you can't get it together around leaders like Steph and Clay and Draymond, then it's over. No, you're gonna end up being a role player or whatever it may be, but no one's ever gonna look at you as a difference maker again.
Yeah, That's well said. And I do think that with more spacing and stuff around him, it'll help. Yeah. Just like it will help anybody. He's primarily a slasher. And, you know, if you play with elite shooters, you might get open more. And really, it's just – I think he's kind of been miscast, too. Like, he's not really a number one guy, even though he fits the profile of a team that has you know, he fits the profile as a number one guy in terms of his tools and his skill set. Like, he's not really that. And if he's the number one guy, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So I don't hate it. I don't hate it. It's a big gamble. But, you know, the Warriors also got a first-round pick out of it. And then the Wolves, you know, I mean, I don't know what the hell the Wolves are doing.
I mean, hey, if
D'Lo's not that much better than Wiggins, I really don't think so. He doesn't really impact winning that much for me. But it seemed like they were just determined to get Karl Anthony Towns, another friend.
Yeah.
On the roster. So anytime you can get someone, I mean, obviously they wanted D'Lo in free agency as well, and they couldn't get that done. So,
yeah. They can stay up and play Modern Warfare together.
Yo, he's not going to win until, like, March. What month do you think Karl Anthony Towns will finally experience winning?
Oh, man.
It might be, like, April. It might be June in the Rico Hines run. All right, let's go back to the bio market. So the Raptors, you know, this is sort of the secondary trade deadline. The bio market is March 1st, the deadline. So plenty of time for guys to, you know, get cut from their current teams and potentially find their way to the Raptors. I'll have to say the bio market this year seems to be pretty competitive because a lot of teams are interested in competing.
Yeah.
And there was not a lot of activity at the deadline. I mean, you know, I'm sure a lot of teams would have wanted to make moves, but they just couldn't because the price is too high. Like Washington was demanding 2 first-round picks
for expiring
Davis Bertans. I'm like, get out of here, man. They're not really going to make any moves. So the bio market names, I'm just going to throw a couple at you, all right? Bismack Biyombo, yes or no?
Yeah, if you get him on like a veteran's minimum, why not?
Okay, that's the correct answer. Marvin Williams.
Yeah, I think he can shoot from the corners,
yeah.
Okay, and he's a serviceable defender.
Yeah.
So, veteran. Yeah, it's always good having wing options.
Knows his role. Evan Turner. I saw Evan Turner when the Hawks were here, and he looked a little chub, so I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I'm cool.
You're good?
Yeah.
All right. Apparently, the Celtics want him. That's kind of about it for guys that are...
Wait, Jeremy Lin's not coming back?
Oh, please, man. Come on. He's actually in America because of coronavirus. So he's just chilling. He's available. I'm sure he's not trying to go back right now. The rest of these guys are just old guys. I'm going to throw at you. Vince Carter?
No.
Yeah, I'm good, man. He had many chances to do it.
And
he,
yeah.
He's 43.
At this point, it's just going to be the one-day contract thing.
Yeah.
Sign it, retire.
Nene?
No. I'd rather have just... If it comes to it, I'd rather just give the minutes to Boucher.
Yeah, fair enough. Jamal Crawford?
No.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, okay, so that's the bio market names.
What do you think, Tristan Thompson?
I don't think Tristan's coming here, man. There's no opportunity for him here. Like, yeah. He's not going to play minutes over Serge or Mark, and so it's just not as realistic.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's like a star chaser anyway, so. I mean, the only thing, I don't want Tristan to end up on a team like the Celtics, where that actually helps him. The Celtics, I think, have a lot of really impactful wings. Obviously, they have a huge gap in terms of rim protection. And, you know, they swarm and play whatever defense, but they just don't have credible rim protection. And
right.
The rebounding is a little soft.
Yeah, he'd be good fit on the Celtics.
He'd be a really damn good fit on the Celtics, but hopefully he doesn't go to Boston. Or hopefully he doesn't get bought out. I mean, like, it's not even a certainty he gets bought out.
I mean, he loves trolling the Raptors. It seems like his kind of move.
It really does, eh? Well, I mean, you know what the
thing
is?
Seems like a Brampton kind of move.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, what was he out of? He took the Larry O'Brien trophy to a freaking Tim Hortons, man?
Yeah.
Jeez. Of all the places you could take it, man. Come on. Yeah, I mean, I just hope Tristan doesn't go to the Boston. But, I mean, honestly, like, you know, he would have to give up his bird rights to get that buyout.
Yeah.
It's not an insignificant thing, I would say. But, I don't know. It's not like he was going to get re-signed by Cleveland anyway. Anyway, I'm going to take a quick break right here, and I'm going to tell you that baseball is hot dogs, football has nachos, so when does basketball get its official food? How about right now? Kentucky Fried Chicken, the new official food of basketball. Think about it. Basketball players make buckets all the time. KFC makes buckets all the time, and theirs are filled with fried chicken, like famous original recipe or crispy popcorn chicken or even juicy tenders. So that settles at KFC, the official food of basketball. Order at KFC.ca and get it before tip-off. I've already
buckets, got baby.
There you go. There you go. I already asked you about the 12-game win streak. I would say this. Focus on the second half. What are you hoping to see out of the Raptors in the second half of the season?
I want to see them continue to progress against the plus 500 teams. They've got two more games against the Pacers.
Mm-hmm.
They've got another game against the Bucks coming up towards the end of the month.
Yep.
And so very intrigued by how those matchups go. And then I think they have another key stretch in March, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they play Sixers, Celtics, Nuggets, Lakers.
Yeah, so again, I think that's another good measuring stick stretch for them. Mm-hmm. And so I think those are the key things that I'm looking for. Again, can't say enough about this team needing to just be healthy.
Yeah.
And so once Norm gets back, I don't think Marks is serious at all. I think I honestly think if it was a playoff situation right now, he'd be playing.
DMP old.
Yeah. So I think whether he comes back before the All-Star break or not, I'm not too worried about him. So it's just about Norm getting back, fitting into the rotation and getting his scoring back on track. And, yeah, this team just getting a whole bunch of games together where everyone is available. I think that's the most important thing before the playoffs because – like you said, man, it's February and we don't really have a good feel for what this team can do at its best.
Yeah.
And I think that's important for them to know going into the playoffs. Just in terms of, you know, what the rotations are kind of going to look like. We know the top seven is going to play the bulk of the minutes. But just in terms of the five-man units that are going to be out there and whatnot, and just developing that chemistry down the stretch.
Yeah, for sure. And that month of March is going to be pretty tough. I mean, they start on the road in Denver, road trip, four-game road trip out west, Phoenix, Golden State, Sacramento. Actually, I guess five-game, actually, Utah as well. So that's not an easy road trip.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's that Sixers on the road, which is never easy. Celtics at home, Nuggets at home, Lakers at home. You know, it's a pretty tough opposition. Then they play Memphis back-to-back and then Milwaukee back-to-back at the start of April. You know, so, yeah. We'll see. We're going to see what the Raptors are all completely made of. But I do feel pretty confident that if they're healthy, they're going to compete with anybody. Masai Ujiri rumors. A lot of noise about the Knicks.
A lot of noise.
Getting Masai. Obviously, they fired Steve Mills, and so it seemed like something was up. All these reports came back out of how the Knicks are very thirsty to sign Masai Ujiri. But then, you know, as quickly as that came, there was also a report from Woj 30 minutes later being like, actually, the Knicks have just realized that it would cost draft picks and real compensation to take Masai out of his current deal. And so they've moved on. They might look to some very successful models across the NBA where agents have been hired, and they cited Golden State, which is like fair enough. Bob Myers did a really good job.
Yep.
And Rob Pelinka, which, you know, I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, all right, LeBron wanted to go there and AD wanted to go there, but that's the Lakers. That's not Rob Pelinka, but whatever. So then,
and it was the Magic. It was Magic who convinced LeBron in that meeting, right?
That's right.
So
that's right. I don't know if they needed to convince LeBron that much, to be honest. I think LeBron just wanted to see his kids play basketball in California
And do his Hollywood thing.
That too. Although I really thought he would be in more movies by now. I guess he doesn't have that much time.
Yeah,
and he's in Space Jam too.
I mean, last summer was pretty much the most time he'll have pretty much for the rest of his career.
Well, we'll see about that, actually. We'll see about that. They did not make any moves, any major ones, the Lakers did not. So, you know, they might have to resort to getting J.R. Smith, apparently. That's a steep fall from getting Marcus Morris to J.R. Smith.
Hey, man, we need another meme.
I guess so. But, yeah, I mean, you know, there was a bit of hysteria. Michael Grange of Sportsnet put out a story where, you know, some worrying details. You know, a lot of contracts ended in 2021, including Nurse, Alec McKechnie, Bobby Webster's contract.
Yeah, I felt like Grange went to a really dark place there.
I was gonna say, man, I'm just like all right. 2021 was supposed to be a celebration. A lot of good things are happening that year. We're not supposed to lose all these people all to the Knicks randomly. And you know, maybe there were outs on Masai's deal, early outs, and whether or not the ownership would let him go, stuff like that. For now, it seems like, and you know, I say for now, even though the Knicks have actually moved on and they're going to hire, reportedly, they're going to hire Leon Rose of the Created Arts Agency and also William Wesley, who's a pretty famous, I guess, music exec.
Worldwide Wes.
Yeah, I mean, so it seems like they're going to hire those two to really be running the show there. And I don't know, maybe they keep whatever his name is, Scott Perry, to like continue doing actual general manager duties while they're sort of the president and sort of head of the organization. But, you know, what were your emotions when you saw this? Like, is there too much smoke here to not be at least some bit of a fire? Or do you think it's still just one-sided interest from the Knicks regarding Masai?
I think there's more smoke than there's ever been.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that has to do with the narrative that Masai may have accomplished everything there is to accomplish in Toronto, which I think ultimately comes down to what he thinks.
Not, sure.
You know, everyone else can sort of parade the fact that, hey, what more can you do than bring a championship to the Raptors? And frankly, the type of person he is, he might argue that, hey, my goal wasn't just to win one here. My goal was to win two, three, four, who knows, right? Make this city a perennial winner and put them up with the elites, you know, the way people talk about Golden State and the way people talk about San Antonio. And so who knows if that is his goal?
Yep. Well, I mean, to that point, not to interrupt you, but
yeah,
remember we were in that press conference post-championship, and he said his goal was to make the Raptors as big as Manchester United or Liverpool.
Yep.
First off, that'd be an amazing accomplishment, all right? It would require basketball as a sport to be a lot more prominent than it is. But, you know.
So, yeah, exactly. So I think there are things that the narrative fits, and there are things that the narrative doesn't fit, right? And so I think it ultimately just comes down to Masai, and I'll put it this way as well. When everyone had Kevin Durant leaving Golden State for the Knicks, and the narrative fit, and it's like he's got all these contacts in New York, and everything was paraded around that it was in place for him to sort of take over as the king of New York. And guess what? He went to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So I do think it's conceivable that Masai arrives at a point where he feels that he's accomplished everything that he needs to here. And so he might leave. And whether that's a year from now where he has that opt-out, 2 years from now, or, well, I guess I should say, I should say this summer and then next year. Or whether it's, you know, 3, 4, 5 years down the line where, you know, after 2021, he has a certain free agent here and he wants to, you know, rake in all the goods that comes with it, and then move on. I don't think we'll actually know. You know, all we can sort of, we can speculate as much as we want, but ultimately I think Masai is his own man. He's proven that right from the very beginning. And I don't think he's satisfied with just winning one championship in Toronto.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't think he looks at any situation and sees it as not a challenge.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think he's the kind of competitive guy that will find a challenge in almost just about anything. And, yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. You're not just done. Like, there's more things to do. And
yeah.
I think for a lot of these organizations, like, they, especially the good ones, they think multiple years ahead. And so you're not looking at, you know, you're not looking at it like, you know, one championship is it. You're not just climbing in, you know? Like, these guys are very ambitious. But, you know, I do think that, look, I find it annoying, and mostly just that there's so much misinformation. And you know, it's just the reports that bother me. Not in the sense that, like, I don't think they're sourced or anything like that. They've just bothered me on a level as a fan because, like, Masai is, like, the fabric, the identity of this whole franchise. You know, you can't go from where he started, from where we started, where, you know, he comes to the organization, nobody wants to play here, this team ain't doing shit, nothing like that, they're going to blow it all up. You know, they might tank for Wiggins. I mean, you think about that.
Wow.
To telling people to believe in the city, believe in yourself, and then actually following through, getting the championship, all the things that have happened, all the prominence that the Masai has brought. I'm not saying all that goes away just because if he were to ever leave, that would go. But that kind of confidence, that kind of belief, that kind of competency, that kind of grace that he just carries himself with, you know, that is the Raptors. That's the identity of the Raptors. And I don't want that to ever go. And so that's why these reports bother me, because I don't want to contemplate these things. It's like thinking about your parents splitting up, you know, like, bro, I don't want to. I don't want to know that. I mean, this to be the foundation of one of the stability points of my life.
Basically, we're saying Larry needs to make Masai the first 100 million executive.
Amen.
In the game, and KFC's got to give him all the buckets.
Listen, KFC, sponsor Masai Ujiri right now. I want to hear Masai Ujiri tell me, "Fuck McDonald's." I mean, you know, if it's about money, MLNC should have plenty, plenty, plenty of money. All right. Mm-hmm. To wrap up the show, let's take a couple of Twitter questions. A lot of them are just, you know, things that we've covered in the pod. So I apologize for not getting those. This one from Jason, which streak do you think is more likely to break first, the Raptors or the Wolves?
Oh, man.
So I think the Wolves have lost 16 straight. Let me just double check on this one. The Toronto Raptors obviously have won 12 straight, and that is the best win streak currently in the NBA. The Timberwolves have lost 13 in a row. And if you look at their upcoming schedule, they play the Clippers next, which is just unfortunate timing for them. They play the Clippers. They play the Raptors. So, you know, that's a big one right there. Charlotte, Boston, Denver, Dallas, Miami, Orlando, Dallas, New Orleans. I don't see a single win in there.
They can beat Charlotte, no?
They just lost to Atlanta at home.
Yeah, but they got D'Angelo now.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. I might say the Raptors win streak first, to be honest. They you know, this game in Indiana, it'll be tough. The Pacers will definitely be very up for it.
Yeah. No, I hear that. I'm going to say the Wolves beat the Hornets.
Wow.
And the Raptors keep it going.
Okay.
I think the Raptors.
So you're saying like a 17-game game win streak.
I think the Raptors are going to the All-Star break with the win streak intact.
Wow. All right. You heard it here first. This is the new Alex. This is the new Alex tweet. All right. Atul J asks, did the Heat overtake the Raptors by trading for Crowder and Iggy? I don't know. TBD. It's hard to say. I mean, Iggy hasn't played in a while, so I'm not really sure about that. I don't think in the standings this affects too much in the regular season, but in a playoff setting, I think the Heat are better than where they started today. So that said that. Also, you know, the Heat have, I mean, Justice Winslow is a good player too. It's not like they gave him nothing in the deal.
Right.
It's just he wasn't healthy and he wasn't playing much.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that one's TBD. I'm not trying to skirt the question. I really do think that's TBD. Another question here. Besides Milwaukee, what's the toughest matchup for the Raptors in the East?
Besides Milwaukee, the toughest matchup for the Raptors in the East, man. I think it's between Boston and Miami.
Yeah.
And I feel like Boston with those wings, and if they can get Tristan in the buyout market, I think that becomes really interesting.
Yep.
I think I said it before where I felt like Boston and Toronto, it's such a pick-em series that I would just go with whoever has home court.
Yeah, true.
And so if the Raptors can wrap up home court against the Celtics, mm-hmm. then I would pick the Raptors.
Yeah. To me, they still don't have a guy that can really guard Pascal like that, even if they got Tristan, for example.
Right.
I've seen Pascal go hard against Tristan this year. I've seen Tristan try to defend him. Pascal's done a pretty damn good job. I get that he was on Cleveland. So they better help defense around him, but
I just really like the way Boston can score across the wings.
Same.
Like between Tatum and Brown and Hayward.
It's hard, man.
And then Kemba's always a problem.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I think that ability to score in multiple ways and present multiple threats in the playoffs mm-hmm. is so important. And
yeah.
So that's going to be a really unique challenge for the Raptors in the postseason if they play Boston.
Yeah.
And then with Miami, like, they're just so physical.
Yeah.
And then you look at the way Bam can guard Siakam.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, if you look at coaching matchups,
yeah,
that is probably the toughest coaching matchup.
Right. It's probably a push on that one. Right. Whereas the Raptors have an advantage against most other teams.
Yeah. So that's where I think, man, between Boston and Miami, I think those are the two toughest ones.
Will Kevin Love ever...
What do you think of Philly, Indiana? No?
I'm not worried about too much about Indiana. I just think the top-end talent is not that great.
Yeah.
And low-key, their rim protection doesn't look that good. Like, when they stack two centers in the paint, yeah, their rim protection is good. But, like...
How often are you going to do that?
You going to do that? And also, we have Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka. Those guys can really shoot. They'll hurt you in that way.
Right.
And then, you know, Philly, I just think they're a mess. There's a real chance that that thing just completely blows apart, like, in the playoffs. Yeah. Like, could be a – I mean, they really do look a lot like last year's Celtics. This question right here, will Kevin Love ever get out of Cleveland? I mean, on vacation. Why do you think he took so much vacation? He hates his job. Bro, he was taking vacation, like, a day before training camp. He's like, yo, I'm out here, you know – in Southeast Asia, and it's like, you have to be in Cleveland tomorrow for physicals. And he's like, nah, fuck that.
He's on that LeBron plan from like two seasons ago. It's like, nah, I just need to chill right now.
Yeah.
Y'all get this team sorted. And I'll come back when I come back.
His contract's terrible, man. No one's taking that.
Yeah, now they got his and Drummond's.
What 3-4, 3-D forwards do you think will be available in the bio market? Do you think Jeff Green's an upgrade on Rondé? I'm not even sure, to be honest. I'm not even that big of a fan of what Rondé is doing of late. I thought yesterday he was really poor. Obviously, his first game back, so it's hard to blame him. But
yeah,
Jeff Green is just not it, man.
No, I mean, that's the thing. There's a guy that's been around the league. Multiple teams have looked to get, you know, that potential that everyone talks about out of him, and they haven't been able to do it on a consistent basis.
Yeah,
he has those hot flashes, but yeah, I think buyout wise, like you mentioned, Marvin Williams. I'd rather have Marvin Williams than Jeff Green. I'll say that much.
Yeah, same, definitely. Yeah,
but
yeah. I think Marvin Williams actually plays winning basketball. He plays on such a bad team.
At the end of the day, none of these buyout decisions are going to influence what happens in the playoffs.
Yeah, you're trying to upgrade on Rondé. Like, what are you really going to do with that?
Yeah.
And then last question. Did you laugh when Drummond went to the Cavs?
Yeah.
How are you feeling for Dwayne Casey in Detroit?
I literally laughed out loud. It was hilarious.
First time you saw the trade, you're like, okay, what's Cleveland doing? And then when you saw the return, that it was just John Henson and Brandon Knight. Jeez, they really flipped him for a bag of chips. Like, and like bad chips too, like sour vinegar chips.
You could trade me for those three guys, and I would be devastated. Like, I don't know what he's going to do.
You might be better than Brandon Knight at this point. Yo, how is Brandon Knight going back to Detroit? The players' union should step in on the basis of, you know, PTSD because of the way he's got all those highlights against Brandon Knight, like Kyrie crossing him up.
DeAndre Jordan dunk.
That was all of him in Detroit. I would never want to go back to Detroit.
What do you think Blake Griffin's going
to
talk to him about?
Jesus. It's
like, yo, remember that time?
Blake Griffin might just take 2 years off.
It's going to be part of his new comedy sketch.
Wow.
It's all content now.
Oh my God. Oh, wow. All right. V. Big thank you to coming on the podcast.
Oh man, thanks for having me.
Good times, good times. Where can people find you and your work? What are you saying?
Back at Raptors Republic.
Yep.
Complex Canada.
Yep.
Yeah, that's pretty much it right now. And you can follow me on Twitter at Vivek M. Jacob.
Yep.
And yeah, we'll see you around.
All right. As for listening to the podcast, next week, I'm actually going to be away, so there will not be a weekly podcast. To be honest, I'm trying to determine whether I will still do a reaction podcast. I'm not sure my partner will be super thrilled with me doing that on the road, but we'll see. But if I do that or not, thanks everyone for listening. Big thank you to KIC for sponsoring the show, and I'll speak to you soon.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloane Stephens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloane.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.